This episode was created on unceded Coast Salish territories of the Lekwungen and Wissanic people. CFUV has been around for over 30 years. In that time, we have worked with many radio hosts, all with their own unique experiences and stories. I'm setting out to find how CFUV has affected its community and to get an inside story on CFUV's DJs. I'm Max Monday, and this is Behind the Mic. Today I am interviewing Sarah of Blue Light. How are you doing today?
Yeah, fine.
Sarah started her journey at CFUV on the recommendation of her aunt.
I can't even remember if she told me directly or if she communicated it to my mother, who in turn told me. That can happen. What is definitely true is that I remember the reason why she thought I should check this out, which is actually probably a bit more relevant to the show. She said that it might be something I'd like because I was so interested in music. That is true. Music has been one of my hobbies for some time. And I've been a fairly avid jazz fan since pretty much since 2000. Mm-hmm. So she thought that was that has an impact, obviously, for my current show, which is a jazz and blues show. And haven't been a sort of an official blues fan for as long. And when I started doing Blue Light, I was sort of, well, oh man, how did I put this? I was sort of new to the blues as a genre. I mean, obviously, since a lot of jazz musicians do play some blues as well, I was not unfamiliar with it. And jazz is based on the blues. It draws from the blues. There is that connection there, but the blues as a separate genre I had only tentatively gotten into. Like, I listened to some people and stuff like that, but not to the extent I have since then. But she did correctly think this would be something I'd be interested in, and cool. Everything started from there.
For quite some time, Sarah has been a jazz music fan, but only recently has she started listening to blues. Tell me about the first time that you really thought, wow, I really, really like this type of music.
Yeah, it wasn't a record, hilariously enough. It was a movie.
A movie, yeah.
A movie I watched actually in high school as part of a media studies class. And I think it was in media studies, because we watched a lot of movies in that one. And one of them was the documentary When We Were Kings, which I highly recommend, by the way. It's a documentary about Muhammad Ali and George Foreman having the Rumble in the Jungle, as it was called, the big boxing match in it's now the Democratic Republic of Congo. It's gone through a few names in the past century or so, so I forget which one I was using at the time. Mobutu Sese Seko was still in charge. And he, I think he sponsored the thing or something. But anyway, in that film, as they portrayed in that film, there was not just the match, but there was also a big concert with a lot of basically great African American artists. James Brown, for example, was there, and one of them was B.B. King. Sadly, as of last year, the late great blues guitarist and vocalist. One of the songs they played in the film of his, and that is on the soundtrack that I later got, was a Sweet 16. And the song just blew me away. The singing, the guitar playing, the emotional impact. I was hanging on every note of that song.
This B.B. King song is called Sweet 16.
But you wouldn't do nothing for me, babe.
It was amazing, and that soundtrack CD is still one of that's still basically a cherished favorite of mine, that song.
After a few months of being on air trained, Sarah got the green light for her first show, Blue Light. You said that for the first few months of having your own show, Blue Light, you didn't tell anyone about it.
Well, I started off like most people do with CFUV as a fill-in, and I didn't get my permanent time slot for the first couple of months. And, you know, when things are in the early tentative stage, I mean, they can fall through. That's just, that's something that happens, right? Yeah. You have something and you think you got it, and then, oops, it didn't last as long as you thought it did. So part of this was, you know, just being a bit cautious, right? Just, you know, just in case, like, you don't want to make a big deal about something only to find it, you know, is over, right? So I had to, and plus, I mean, as, as I said to some people, I kind of cope with the first little bit of the show by kind of pretending it was, in effect, all a dream. It prevented me from getting too self-conscious in the early days. I've discovered I don't get stage fright, but, you know, you can get other kinds of sort of nervous self-conscious without getting proper stage fright.
Yeah.
All the not getting stage fright means you don't freeze up when asked to talk to people, you know, in a public setting. Or not for that reason, anyway. But after, you know, the show got off the ground, particularly after literally a few years went by, you know, you get used to it, right? You kind of settle into, well, that's, well, it was my experience, and I imagine it would be the experience of a few people around here. You kind of get into a bit of a routine, you know, you kind of, you know the drill. You get more used to it, basically. That really is another way of putting it. And so, as I said, after the first year or so, I did start to tell more people about it, and it was a thrill. I still remember, I actually still have the copy of the magazine where I first saw my show in the show lineup. That was such a big thrill for me. And then, you know, just seeing it there, it's kind of a thing. I actually remember first time I went to see the Hi-Fi in concert. I told the gal who was selling the CDs that I was I had a show on CFUV and that was a big fan of theirs, and I you know did and do play their stuff on the air, and I was a big fan, and she was quite happy to hear that. I think promised to tell them. I think I don't know if she ever followed up on that, but that doesn't really matter to me. The fact that she was thrilled is enough for me.
Exactly.
Big enough feather for my cap, if you will. Yeah.
For her radio show, Blue Light, Sarah brings blues and jazz to the airwaves of CFUV. She is one of only three women to do so. Can you speak on the importance of having women in blues and jazz, not just as musicians, but as radio hosts?
Well, in general, it's just good to get multiple perspectives, provided everyone remains civilized, of course, as the saying goes. I know that's a slightly old-fashioned word, but, you know, as long as people, you know, speak in coherent sentences and are, you know, polite and don't just start off by yelling at people like they're the cause of all their problems, you know, I think it's important to hear from a lot of different people. And sometimes, I mean, there definitely are cases where someone, you know, with a different background, for whatever reason, can bring a different perspective on things. I think that's particularly important. It's almost, I guess, most obviously important, like things like news programs or stuff like that. But that's true in anything that requires a knowledge base of some kind, and that does include music shows. And all people, period, I mean, bring a different perspective to things. And of course, it's, I guess, on another level, it is good that to have women in that position, because, you know, the women won't feel they are excluded then. Because, I mean, there definitely are women who say, oh, no, I can't do this. I've never heard of a woman doing this. And I'll just forget about that then. And that would be kind of bad, because if it's, you know, something good or positive or however you want to put it, you know, she could contribute to the community or even the world as a whole, the world community.
Blue Light is known to be cherished by the community. Sarah receives many phone calls during her time slot.
I do, as I've said to people, I do have an older following, and the thing about having an, you know, a lot of older folks is your listeners is they have a bit more time to phone and, you know, talk to people. And I have gotten calls, and like there was a guy who the first 2 years of the show, he would call me fairly regularly. I think he was from Washington State even, and to talk about I remember one of I don't get a lot of requests on my show, funnily enough. Just I don't seem to get that crowd, but mm-hmm. I've gotten a few, and he gave one of them. He wanted to hear some Art Blakey, and I was really happy to do that one because I'm a really big Art Blakey fan myself. Mm-hmm. And I promised him the next show I'm going to start off with a whole bunch, and I did, and he called and thanked me. And I've had people just phone in and say, I was at home sick, or I was looking after my grandkids or whatever, and I put it on your show and I really like it and thanks. And I had and one of my favorite stories, well, I actually got two favorite stories like that.
Yeah,
probably the silver medal favorite, if you will. It was a woman who phoned me after I said a lot on the air before playing a particular blues track. I said, to me this sounds like a late 50s early 60s pop song, but I'm not sure if it is. And but to me, it sounds like Thera. And I played it, and this woman phoned in, and she said, yes, it is an early 60s pop song. I remember listening to this song when I went to a high school dance. I thought, great. But my favorite story like that, I vividly remember this. I was playing, right after it came out, I played Joshua Redman's album, Walking Shadows, which is an orchestral album, and he's a saxophonist, and he was playing Billy Strayhorn's Lush Life, which is a fairly well-known jazz tune, and he was playing actually a really great rendition of it. It's still one of my favorites for the piece and for him as a whole. And about a minute to go on the album, someone phoned and asked who was playing. And I said, oh, that's Joshua Redman. And there was a slight pause because I think she was surprised. Joshua Redman? I said, yeah. She said, wow, I thought that was John Coltrane with strings. And I thought, wow, part of me, like I keep thinking if I ever meet Joshua Redman, I want to tell him that because I think he'd be thrilled because Coltrane was one of his influences.
Yeah.
Like a lot of modern saxophonists. And that, wow, I thought that this is awesome.
The thing that you told me earlier about someone who called in and knew one of the musicians that you were playing?
Oh, yeah. Well, not knew, because he was, but he knew of him, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, he never said if he actually knew the guy or not, but considering when this gentleman was active, I'm not sure, but because this was the story I told you about a guy who was active in the 1920s, late 20s, early 30s, mm-hmm. So he'd have to be a fairly old guy. But he knew some stories about, first of all, the guy is Joe Venuti, who's the first great jazz violinist. And this guy, like, I was playing some Joe Venuti, and he phoned up to tell me about him and tell me some stories about him, chiefly about what a big practical joker he was. That was interesting because I hadn't known that. He told me a story about he hired a bunch of tuba players for a job that didn't exist, and they all turned up on this one street corner, and Joe was there watching them from his hotel room across the street. And these guys wandering around looking for their non-existent job.
How has CFPB helped you to grow as like a person in general?
To speak to the experience as a whole, it's been really interesting. I mean, I've listened to quite a few people, courtesy of the library here and all the stuff they get. Like, I've heard a lot of people I might have missed otherwise. People like David Gogo, Ashley Way, Chantal Devidier, Cécile McLaughlin-Salvant. That's just the first four I can think of, but there's quite a few more.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many more, even. Rhea Moldar, there's another one. They're all people I haven't had, in many cases, the pleasure of seeing them in concert yet. As I mean, I do go to concerts. I do do all that stuff, you know. There are definitely quite a few people who I have heard and admire and love to play the works of. Oh, the Hi-Fi is another example that I first encountered on the library shelves here at CFUV, and that's been the I guess the greatest growth experience, because as a music lover, and in my case also a hobby collector of music, I mean that is a thing. That is how you have new. Well, basically a vast chunk of your new experiences come from engaging in that sort of activity.
I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. I'd have said the right thing.
Blue Light provides CFUV's listeners with a look into Sarah's great taste in music. She has vast knowledge on all things blues and jazz, and she graces CFUV with her selections each week. Today's final track is the Hi-Fi's Right Place, Wrong Time.
Head was in a bad place, but I'm having such a good time. I've been running, trying to get hung up in my mind. Just got to give myself a good talking to this time.
This episode of Behind the Mic included a conversation with Sarah, host of Blue Light, which airs on Thursdays from 2 to 3:30 p.m. For more episodes of Behind the Mic, check out your favorite podcast provider or visit soundcloud.com/CFUV.
But it must have been the wrong song. I've been in the right